Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
And welcome to the Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler, talking the world of money and investing. Yeah, so one of the things I have to just be aware of, sometimes I forget this, sometimes there are people that just aren't really familiar with what we teach here. And, you know, I guess just hearing, you know, just conversation around the station this week and talking to people and talking to some of the guys that are, you know, on the station. Matt and Chris and Dan, every once in a while, talk to him and get into conversations about this. I forget how much people don't know about stock markets. And the questions that come up, I go, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe I need to revisit some of this stuff every once in a while. And the thing that we think of with investing is, you know, I just go and put money in my 401k and everything will just magically work out. You know, markets, you know, are going to do what they do. They go up and they go down. But what we often don't think about is how we typically approach this or how the investment managers are approaching this. Now, an investment manager, let's say you have a mutual fund. Now, some of them will do an indexing approach. We're increasingly seeing more of that where you're finding a fund will just buy into an index like the S&P 500. You got the 500 biggest companies. They're going to put most of the money in the very, very biggest of companies. And that will be because it's just really easy. It's cheap. It's an inexpensive way of doing things. And a lot of fund companies are marketing as cheap. And quite frankly, you know, when it comes to a 401k and you have a fiduciary responsibility, one of the responsibilities is to keep expenses low, which is, yeah, we ought to keep expenses low. But what happens is in order to just keep under the radar and not be accused of charging too much, sometimes they'll just do that, is they'll just use indexes and you're overweighting the very big companies because it's less expensive to do that. And then what ends up happening is you end up with underperformance because where do we expect more returns? Smaller companies, because smaller companies can become big, and big companies, well, they're already big. You know, so you don't have as much of an opportunity to grow. And you know, the thing is that investors end up at the end of their investing cycle, whether it be 30, 40, 50 years, and they end up with a whole lot less money than they should if they have actually not paid attention to this. And then they go, well, they don't know it because they don't know what should have happened. Older investors who wanted to control risk think that there's less risk in big companies, so it doesn't bother them. And what they don't recognize is that the academic research shows that when you combine companies of different sizes, that's how you can reduce the expense, the level of risk in the portfolio, because they don't move with each other. You know, value companies, like in, you know, when years where markets drop a lot. And you know, I use example of 2000, 2001 as a really good example. You had value companies actually went up, but most people didn't own them. Hardly anybody owned them, you know, because the fact that most of what had been doing so well in the previous 5 years, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, had been the growth companies. And those are the companies everybody was talking about. You know, if you just ask people, hey, what, give me a stock that you might invest in, 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you a growth company. And what happened with investors in downturns throughout history, and I just use that one example, but you know, you look at a lot of downturns throughout history and you see that small companies, maybe value companies, other companies didn't go down when the S&P 500 took a big dive or didn't go down as much. So what happens when we don't own a lot of these market segments, we end up with more risk. You know, so with investors in 401ks, let's say if we're using those target date funds with index funds inside of them, or the portfolio is being put together by a robotic portfolio designer or whatever, you know, robo portfolios, then what happens is we end up overly concentrated in those bigger companies, and we don't know until it hits us when the bottom falls out, and then it's too late to fix it by then. You know, so number one, they might be using indexing. That could be a problem. What I see quite often is that they'll use active buying and selling of stocks inside of portfolios, and people don't even realize it's happening because they don't know to look at the turnover ratios. They don't know to look at, you know, whether tactical asset allocation is being used. They don't even know what to look for. And again, one of those things that you may be not losing money, but having relative losses. And it's not until it's too late that you figure out that that happened. Well, the other thing that we see with people as younger investors is, you know, they may be investing in market segments that make no sense whatsoever. And they buy commodities or things that they think are investments because their friends are talking about these things as being investments. And then they're playing the market based on emotions. They get in when they think things look good or if they feel optimistic. And then they get scared when they think things don't look so good. And older investors do this too. I mean, we see this all the time. Boy, am I should be doing this right now. I hear this in the news. This is getting me nervous. And you know, the reality is so much of our self-talk is what drives us crazy. Oh, I think things are looking really, really bad right now. And then all of a sudden we start to ruminate on it. I was telling somebody this week, we were talking about the rumination, the word rumination, where it comes from. And it's, you know, it's where we think about things. We think about them. We think about them. We think of them. And then they make us really, really just drive us crazy. Well, it's a cow chewing food over and over and over again. That's where the word comes from. Chewing and chewing it and chewing and chewing. It's like we chew on our thoughts all day long, and then we go and act on them. Yeah, because your thoughts and your actions tend to be related. When I think about something for a long period of time, then I act on it. And then all of a sudden I make a mistake and then I go, oh, what have I done? But then by then it's too late, right? Well, this caught my attention because this week there was an article. It was in, I think it was, I'm not even sure where this article showed up. I saw it, you know, because one of those things that pops up in your list of things, Fortune magazine. Yeah, it was Fortune, now that I think about it. But it was Warren Buffett says the stock market is increasingly casino-like, he says, and young investors need to remember this one fact of financial life to avoid this mess. I thought this is really good. Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett. You talk about a guy that is lauded as being a successful investor. He's it. He's the poster child. You know, he was a value investor, you know, basically bought companies that were, you know, in trouble, turned them around, got on their board of directors. We like to point out that he actually cheated a little bit because he got on the board of directors. He turned companies around because he was a very, very good business person as well. So anyway, Warren Buffett is often talked about. He's getting up there in age. And, you know, you look at somebody like that and you go, there is a guy that's been there, done that, and he got the T-shirt. Maybe we ought to listen to what he has to say. Isn't it so often that we don't listen to people with wisdom and we listen to our peers, young people, and you know, if you're a younger person, you're listening to your friends and you go, wow, you know, my friend says this, and you go, and he sounds so smart and he sounds so educated, but, you know, he may not know much of anything. Dunning-Kruger effect, which is literally people that have enough knowledge to be dangerous can fool even seasoned professionals because they are so confident with their information. They're so confident with their knowledge. And there's a psychological concept, the Dunning-Kruger effect, that actually shows that people tend to do that. And they tend to think that they've got it all together, and then they go out and do things until they don't have it all together and they figure out that they don't have it together. That's when all of a sudden everything falls apart. Well, Warren Buffett's one of those guys, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. He's not Dunning-Kruger. He is the real deal. He knows his stuff. And what he talks about here, he was doing a little bit of a tribute to his old right-hand man, Charlie Munger. Charlie was a hoot. I mean, he was one of these guys. He's just, you know, wisdom seeping out of every pore as well. And he had this annual shareholder letter that he does. And then people will flock to read this thing and go, what does he have to say? And you know what's so funny is because so often what people do is they flock to this newsletter hoping that they're going to get some stock tip or a market. What's going to happen in the market? I want the Oracle of Omaha to tell me what's going to happen in the market. And yet what he does time and time again is he tells you, don't do that. Don't pay attention to that. And, you know, so it says the Oracle of Omaha lauded Munger as the architect of Berkshire's success, eulogizing the abominable no man, by discussing some of his favorite whipping posts, including the comparison of modern stock market to a casino. Now, he's not the only one that's done this. You know, you, for many, many years, you know, you would have John Bogle saying, you know, it's like he's comparing it to these people running casino. He would use the croupier. And he says, you know, they're playing it. They don't care if you win or lose, just that you keep playing. That's the idea behind it. And that's how people approach investing. And they don't recognize that that's the way their investment advisor is approaching investing. I was looking at somebody's ADV, which is a disclosure document from another company in town. And they must have had 20 different investment managers. I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't you guys just choose one of those investment managers? Because you have, inside of the investment managers, you have dozens and dozens and dozens of investments that they're managing and they're choosing. Why would you have 20 different managers that have different opinions about what's going to happen in the stock market? Why don't you just choose the one that's going to be really, really good? Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? Yeah, I think maybe it would make a lot of sense, but that's not necessarily how Wall Street works. You get one of those 20 investment companies that does well versus the others, and then you start marketing, hey, these guys are really good. Look at the past 5 years. Look what they did, and you need to put your money with them because look at how good and how smart they are. That's why you have mutual fund companies with 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 different mutual funds. Because one of those funds or a handful of those funds are going to really do well. And then you can say, these people are really, really skilled. That is the game that the investment industry is playing. So he says, you know, they're playing it like a casino. He says, for whatever reasons, markets now exhibit far more casino-like behavior than they did when I was young, Buffett wrote. He says, adding that, though the stock market is massively larger than it was in our earlier years, today's active participants are neither more emotionally stable nor better taught than I was when I was in school. And that's it. This is what I've been talking about forever here on this show. You know, our emotions are driving the ship. You know, if I feel good, I feel euphoric, I feel excited, I'm going to buy. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to feel really confident about what I'm buying, what I'm doing. You know, if I'm buying that cryptocurrency, I feel really confident about this. You know, I got this. And you hear that with people now. I got this. You got this. You know, that term. You know, that little phrase, you got this. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But it's the emotional stability. And then when I'm like not feeling great, that's when I just got to quit. I can't do this anymore. I got to pull my money. I got to go do something else. I'm going to put it on the sidelines. I'm going to leave it in the CD for a little bit longer. I'm going to leave it in a money market. I'm going to put it over in this insurance company because they use the word guaranteed in their advertising. Never mind that the insurance company, whatever calamity that you're worried about, the insurance company may not survive it. Never mind that. They're using the word guaranteed. And that really makes me feel better. Buffett's words of caution were definitely a throwback to some of Munger's favorite lines. Throughout his more than 75-year career, Munger argued that there were two types of people that buy shares of stock in the stock market, investors and speculators. And a lot of people, you know, I'm just going to say, a lot of people don't know that they're speculating. They don't even realize it. It's typically one of the first things that we do is we go, hey, let's take a look at what you're doing right now. Let's look at how things are being managed. And we look for signs of speculation. And, you know, the funny thing is people know the rules of investing. They know, you know, don't time the market. They know don't stock pick. They know that bonds are there for safety. They know that they should diversify, but they don't recognize that they're not doing it because they don't know how to look for it. They don't know what to look for. And he says, but the speculators, those who seek nothing more than a quick buck without care for the intrinsic value of what they're buying, well, Munger didn't really like them very much. And I look back to the GameStop thing. You know, that was the thing that I remember talking to Pamela Furr one day, and she and I got into a conversation on the radio. And I said, here's what's going on. And she's like, oh, wow. And I said, yeah. It was no underlying look at what the earnings of the company or the book value of the company or any of the fundamentals of the company. It was just run this baby up and chase after it. And that worked really well for not very long until it didn't work well. And it came crumbling down. And, you know, the thing is he says that they love gambling. The trouble is, it's like taking heroin. And that is so true. You know, we have this dopamine hit with drugs. And, you know, the funny thing is the dopamine hit, it kicks up the amount of in our system. And then each progressive time somebody takes a drug, it takes more and more of the heroin to get the same level of high until you have to take so much of it just to get back to feeling like a normal person. And that's when you know you're in trouble. Well, you don't know you're in trouble when it comes to the stock market until quite often it's too late and you don't have enough years. Because if you look back at how much the time value of money makes a difference in your accumulations, historically, you look at, you know, you take a person in their 20s and they start putting away money for retirement, a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of what they have in retirement is due to their contributions. Most of it, if you did this right, hopefully you got it, most of it is coming from the actual gains that you got. But if you look at the actual returns that investors get investing in the stock market, it's so much less than what markets have delivered historically. That they end up at retirement and most of it's money that they put there with maybe a little gain. And you see that in the data when it looks at, when you look at what actual investor returns have been, and people don't recognize that now they're struggling in retirement because of the way they actually approached investing. And I'm going to talk more about this in a second. There's more. I want to continue on the other side of the break because Buffett had some, there were some really interesting digging that they had done into the Securities and Exchange Commission filings and what younger investors actually did.
Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, back here on the Investor Coaching Show, I'm Paul Winkler talking about the world of money and investing. You know, so this was an article. It was about Buffett, and he was eulogizing Charlie Munger, his long-term partner, you know, at Berkshire Hathaway. Now, Buffett, you know, just had so many good things that I wanted to say in here because I think every time you can just take a look at somebody that has been around the block like Warren Buffett, you know, he has a lot of good things to say. Some of the stuff I disagree with because I think he oversimplifies a little bit. not because he doesn't know doesn't know what he's talking about by any stretch of the imagination, but simply just because so often people need really, really super, super simple. And it can be a little bit of a disservice, especially when you don't diversify as much as you ought to, because you're trying to keep it super, super simple. You know, when I talk about investing, I cringe sometimes because I have to say, hey, look, you know, when we invest, we might own large companies, large growth companies. And, you know, then we're going to look, how do we do that? Well, large US S&P 500, that, you know, it might be something like that. It's simple. But if we're looking at large value, well, you might have to be looking at not just a value index fund, but you might be looking at a fund that buys value stocks, but doesn't actively manage. They don't stock pick. They don't. So the turnover ratio is low. Then you got to look for companies that are the lowest price to book, lowest 20%, and then make sure that you actually screen for profitability factor. And then you want a small cap fund, and the small company stocks don't need to be capitalization weighted. You got to be really conscious of not having capitalization weighting of the portfolio. And then, you know, internationally, you want to make sure you're dealing with developed markets, and then emerging markets, you're looking for markets with less than four market makers, you know, a lot of, and it gets complicated and you go, oh, Calgon, take me away. It's a lot easier to say just buy an index fund. That's why a Warren Buffett might do something like that, even though, you know, he would know that, you know, you want to diversify more than that. And there are things that you can do to help protect yourself as an investor, because you can go 20 years. I mean, we've seen it. We just saw a recent 12-year period where there was no return for the S&P 500. And that can be very dangerous as well. But he's talking here about the active management, which is what often people do as that's the approach that they take to investing their money. And he, like Munger, just feels that people, modern investors, have become too entranced by speculative investing. And he says that rather than digging into the Securities Exchange Commission filings, you know, what happens is too many investors, particularly young investors, and when you look at filings for the Securities and Exchange Commission, like we, as an investment firm, have to file ADVs with the SEC because we're a registered investment advisor. And what we do in our ADV is we specifically state that we do not actively stock pick market time. We believe that markets are efficient. We're not going to engage in those processes. And we, where do we get information? We're not going to get it from newsletters on tactical asset allocation. We're not going to get newsletters on, you know, bottom-up investing or top-down investing. We're not going to be looking for information on, you know, options and doing anything involving options or those types of contracts. What we actually state in there is our philosophy, and it's going to be based on the prudent investor rule and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of information Securities Exchange Commission has on investment advisors that people never even look at. I mean, most people, you say, hey, have you checked out their ADV? And they're like, oh, what's an ADV? They don't even know what it is. You know, and the reality of it is that is there to protect you as an investor. These firms have to put this information, because if they don't put this information out there, then you have no idea what you're investing in. And the problem that you run into is that people don't actually look into it. And they think somebody else has done the legwork for them. Oh, they're a really big investment firm. They can't be doing anything wrong. No, they can be doing lots of stuff wrong, but just disclosing it. I mean, that is the reality. I've talked to regulators before. They've told me that is the reality. You know, it's a free country. We let people do what they want to do is running their businesses. We want to protect the investor. But it is buyer beware. I'm telling you, that is what the deal is. And this is Warren Buffett basically saying the same thing here. They don't even check the Securities and Exchange Commission filings. He says too many investors, particularly young investors, are simply buying stocks that are trendy, hoping someone else will pay more for them in a few months, days, or even hours down the line. And that is exactly what I told Pamela that one day she and I were talking. I said, it's the greater fool theory is how I put it. They're hoping somebody's going to pay a little bit higher price for whatever it is. In that particular case, it was GameStop. And they're hoping that they'll pay a higher price than they did. And that's where returns come from. Well, that works until it doesn't. I used the example when I was talking to her. She was hosting the show one day, and you know, she and I got in the conversation about it. But it was the idea of the tulip bulb craze, where people kept progressively paying a higher and higher price for tulip bulbs in Holland. And at some point, somebody looks and says, I'm not paying that much for a tulip bulb. And then all of a sudden, game up. It's over. And that's exactly what Buffett's saying here. He says, what or who does Buffett blame for this rise in casino-like behavior in the markets? Well, the democratization and gamification of trading is certainly not helping. As the billionaire put it, the casino now resides in many homes and daily tempts the occupants. That is so right. Have you ever been? Have you ever looked at these stock picking websites, these places that you can go and do trading? Bells and whistles going off to TV programs. I mean, look at the TV programs on stock picking. Bells and buzzers and running around and hitting things and, you know, lights flashing all over the place. What is the difference between that and a casino? I don't know. And then you'll have people on the other side, so they're getting excited about buying in that particular case. But then on the other side, there's another side of this. And it is the side that scares investors and gets them to do things that are equally bad on the other side. Forget about buying stocks, hoping somebody will pay a higher price than you. What about the people that are scared into selling things at the absolute worst time? What about them? What are the news stories out there that scare you? Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. You want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.